Hello, and welcome everyone. It is Coach Christy. I'm just jumping on a little early. I am super excited to be here today. Yes, we are going to miss Coach MJ on Wednesdays, but I am here to do Well-Fed Woman Wednesday. So this is your Ask Me Anything about healthify, about eating, about whatever you need help with. I just good morning from Colorado. Hey, Lisa. Go ahead and drop in the chat. Tell me where you're kind of tuning in from this morning. And know that if you are like the first time you're like, I don't even know what she's talking about. I don't know healthify. I don't, know what's going on. You're not behind. Okay. So healthify is Corinne. I help Corinne to write this brand new nutrition course for all of our No BS members. I'm super excited about it. Corinne has been wanting to do this for a while, and we got together and we put it together for y'all. And like I said, I couldn't be more excited. Just so you know, I want you to go ahead and start putting some questions and all that in the Q&A, because that is what today is all about. I see we're from Hawaii and from all different, from Florida, tuning in all the way around the United States and the world. So yeah, we have people here normally from everywhere, and y'all are dropping the questions in there as you go. But like, getting back to it, if you don't even know what Healthify is, go to the website and you can see what Healthify is. Print out your companion guide. You're not behind. Or for my digital divas, you don't have to print it out. I'm old school. But yeah, and just start with lesson one. You just press play and let's just start and see how it works for you. Do the companion guide if you would like to as you go along. We took the extra effort and time to make sure that that kind of went with it, so you don't get, stuck. It's going to allow you to go through this course. Again, we're going to slow you down. This is not an overnight thing that we're going to do. Take it at your own pace. Don't ever feel like you're behind, because you're not. So, but let's jump right in, because we're I already see some questions. Mary says, I've been watching the Healthify and I have a question on what we should do when it comes to full fat, low fat, or non-fat, like with cottage cheese, yogurt, etc. I'm not sure what to do there. Okay, so it makes total sense that you're confused about this. And I was very confused about it for a while, because we were taught to get the low fat version of everything, like back in the probably 80s and 90s. Fat was, you had to have no fat or low fat. I'm going to tell you, it is your choice and what works the best in your body. I'm also going to tell you that there's nothing wrong with the full fat or 2% of any of those type things. Sometimes when they take fat out of food, they add in sugar. And that is one of the things that it's not a fair trade-off. So don't be scared to eat the full fat version, because that fat is what's going to keep us feeling fuller longer. But I can understand that, like I said, these changes are not going to happen overnight. So I want you to feel and do what's best for your body. I just don't want you to be scared of choosing the full fat yogurt and all that. I myself have eaten yogurt, like the fat-free yogurt, and I didn't even like it. I thought I was doing something healthy for myself. I was not enjoying it, and it just wasn't working for me. I felt like I was kind of forcing myself to eat something because I thought it was healthy. That's what we want to avoid. Again, no food is good or bad or anything like that, but I also don't want you, quote unquote, forcing yourself to eat anything. So, great question, and something that, give a try. Try the full fat version of the cottage cheese and see how it works for you. You know your body best. So, I will leave it at that. Sarah, is the advice of 1 gram of protein per pound of goal body weight too high? It seems unattainable. Another good question. And you will hear, depending on who you ask, tell you to eat 1 gram, 1.1 grams, whatever, all that across, bro science, from the people that do all the gym stuff to this, that, and the other. I will say, start where you are. Whatever amount of protein that you're eating right now, and this week is all about just bringing that awareness, and try to increase it just a little bit, just what's doable. Again, we're going to go with the palm of our hand, hopefully 3 times a day. Is it good to get in more protein for our bodies? Yes. Ideally, I would like on a day-to-day basis, I probably get anywhere from 80 grams to 120 grams, and I weigh 142 pounds. There's days that I don't get my protein in. Do I feel a big difference? Sometimes I really do. So I want you to see what's best for your body. Again, I'm going to reiterate that, because I don't want you going by something that someone has made up and said that that's a strict, hard rule to follow. Increase your protein in a way that feels doable. Maybe that's, getting a little bit more at breakfast. 10 grams, if you want to know a gram, try to increase it by 10 grams, or one of those Oikos, I can't say that word, Greek yogurts. Add one of those 3 times a week. That's going to increase that protein. But as far as, the reason that it may seem unattainable, or you're thinking it's unattainable because you're looking at what you're doing, you may be looking at what you're doing now versus getting 100 grams. And if you're only getting 40 grams now, well, that's more than doubling. I can see why you would think that. So let's just bump it up incrementally. All right, Anonymous. I am struggling with the idea of having 110 grams of protein. I don't want to be counting protein, fiber, and carbs. I feel like I would need to use my fitness pal again, and that relationship was unhealthy. This is a very common question that I have gotten already a good bit of times, and I don't want you to feel like you have to track anything. That is almost the opposite of what Healthify is. If you will be using the hand method, like I said, your protein is going to be right here. That's the only thing that I really want you to be doing right now. Try to eat that size protein and the thickness 3 times a day. The only thing that, I would like you to track the way that you feel, not the grams, not anything like that. Make out your plan. Double check that it's healthified, meaning that you have protein at each meal for you, specifically protein, and the fiber and the carbs. I wouldn't worry about tracking that either, because if you're going to do, your cup of handful of carbs and your fistful of fruits or vegetables, you're going to be getting nearly, they want you to get 25 grams of fiber a day. If you're doing that, you're going to hit that 25 grams, and you don't need my fitness pal to tell you that. You just need to, like I said, use the hand method and just try to level up 1%. We're not going from 0 to 100. We're just trying to do 1% better each week so we can make this doable for us and sustainable. So I hope that answered all of your question there. Susie. I know I should be eating fruits and vegetables, like 2 fruits and at least 4 veggies, but I don't feel like having them and completely eat processed foods. Okay. Again, this is common. And there's, Corinne even mentions it. What do I do if I don't like vegetables? Well, you can start with fruits. And if you only like 2 fruits and 4 veggies, eat those 2 fruits and those 4 veggies. There's nothing wrong with starting where you are. I don't want you to, like I said, start thinking that, oh, well, I should eat an avocado and you don't like avocados. Or I should be eating broccoli and cauliflower all the time and you really don't like that. That is not what we're shooting for. We're just shooting to eat a little 1% level up. So, on Susie on that. So like the two fruits and four veggies. And then you kind of go to, I don't like that, or I don't want to eat that. And you see that those thoughts that are coming up are probably what's kind of pushing, giving you the pushback. And as far as the processed foods go, that is common. A lot of us eat processed foods. I eat processed foods every now and again. I try to kind of eat a little bit less of the processed foods and give yourself the chance to try something new. Maybe that looks like trying one new vegetable a week or one new fruit a week. Nothing dramatic, nothing, that is going to cause you to be like, oh, I don't want to do that. Or like someone put in the chat, put butter on those vegetables. Butter or cheese, that's your fat that belongs on your plate. Like the example of mushy steamed broccoli. I don't know of hardly anyone that likes that. And I tried to eat that for a long time. It's not that great, the texture and everything else. But I learned how to put a little bit of olive oil on the broccoli, some salt and pepper, and then roast it. It's a totally different texture, totally different flavor. So play around with different things, and don't kind of the mindset like that you should be eating all this or that you have to eat that. Someone put raw carrots in guacamole. Yeah, I mean, just try something that is just a 1% level up from a processed food. That may look like adding like whatever the processed food is, keeping that, and then maybe adding a little bit of fruit with yogurt or something like that, something that you already like, and adding maybe the fruit into that. So, Teresa, what is the Healthify podcast? That podcast is just so you can take Corinne on the go with you and Healthify on the go. So, if you're away from home or away from your computer and you can't watch the videos, that podcast is just the audio to everything. And some people have already doubled over and listened to it twice. So, and you can find that on the website, and you can just scan that QR code and it will load it automatically. Great question. Okay, Darlene. I drink 101 ounces of water plus not forcing it. Love it plain. I heard that it can wash out electrolytes. Should I add it? I've been resisting it. So, some people do find that there is something called water toxicity, that you can drink too much water and flush out your electrolytes. That is a little, I would say that's one of the extreme times though. And if you're, what people sometimes don't realize is sea salt, that's electrolytes. If you're putting sea salt on your food, or even just regular salt, that's electrolytes. You could add electrolytes to your water if that's not going to hurt you. I do it every now and again when I remember to put it in there. I also think that if you're eating a variety of foods and stuff like that as well, you don't have to worry as much about your electrolytes either. It's like I said, it's not going to hurt you. Again, I think it's something that you might give a try and see if you feel any difference. Great job on drinking your water, and great job on loving plain water. I had to kind of learn to love plain water myself, but don't resist it. Just see how it goes for you and notice if it makes you feel better. If it does, you formed a new habit that works for you. If it doesn't, it may be worth looking into something else. All right. Laura put that she doesn't like adding electrolytes, but she does put coconut water. Coconut water is a great natural boost of electrolytes. So that has it just in there. Like I said, sea salt is another one. If you sprinkle sea salt, some people even put it in their water. That's going to help with your electrolytes as well. Lucy, but more calories in full fat as opposed to low fat, is that a concern? Another good question. My question back to that would be like, if you're eating when you're not hungry, are you consuming more calories as well? And the answer is yes. So if you take that full fat version and it holds you for 3 to 4 hours and you're not having to have the snack in between, I think the calories, we don't count calories, but they will be offsetting, especially when you're eating the full fat version throughout the day and you don't get to the end of the night and have that nighttime eating because you weren't fueling yourself well throughout the day. You give it a try and see how it works for you. I know that I like the 2% milk. I don't go full fat on milk because I just don't like the way my body feels with that. Or I do the 2% Fairlife. So I think it's lactose free. But that feels good in my body. And I know that that sustains me for a certain amount of time. I haven't tried the full fat version because I just haven't. I mean, that's something that I can do. But I would think that the trade-off of being fuller longer would kind of offset that snacking and those additional calories. So that's how I look at it as far as that goes. That fat and the protein is going to keep you fuller longer, and it may keep you from having to have those extra snacks in between meals. All right, Debbie, I'm having trouble getting fiber in. Any suggestions? Fiber is a thing, and I think that it is best increased slowly over time because we don't necessarily want all the GI side effects that come with getting too much fiber too quickly. If you've ever done that, you know that it's not always pleasant. But if you're eating, again, if you're eating your fruits and vegetables, your fist size, and sometimes even 2 fist size, that's where your fiber is going to come from. Your beans, have fiber, all that type of stuff. Don't get hung up on having to have a certain amount of fiber. If you eat kind of the healthified way and use the hand method, you will be getting fiber in. I promise you that. And like I said, over time, you can just level that up. Someone said putting chia seeds adds more fiber. That's a great way. Apples. I eat probably an apple a day. If you look back on my plans that I post on Facebook, you'll see I eat an apple a day. I like apples. It's great fiber. Find something that you like that has fiber in it, which there is a ton of foods out there. But if you want to supplement with fiber, that's another thing you can do. Some people like Benefiber and they just put it in their water. You can't taste it. You can put it in your coffee. You can't taste it. I would love for you to get your fiber through food, but if that's something that, you want a little bit of help with, I would look into some of those supplements because I think that those are definitely out there and can help you kind of increase that fiber. Tammy, sometimes I buy frozen or prepackaged protein forward meals when I need something quick. I know that they're more processed and are not as good for us. I'm very veggie forward too, and make sure I get those in too. Do you think I should wean off of prepackaged stuff and eat maybe 3 to 6 times a week? I think that you do. Okay, you're correct in that the prepackaged protein forward stuff, it has a little bit more processing to it. That's not necessarily good. That's not necessarily bad. It just means the way that it was made, they had to add some extra stuff in there to keep it stable. Would it be better? I think what you have to consider is how does that fit into your lifestyle? If the way that you're getting in those protein forward meals is because they're easy and is because you don't have to cook, leave it alone. Maybe level up 1% and say, okay, if I do have the time to cook, I'll cook instead of eating one of those. But don't think that this is an all or nothing, like, oh my gosh, I have to throw out all of my prepackaged foods. I can't do that. No, this has to fit into your lifestyle. And if that is working for you, I'd rather you get the protein in and it be processed or whatever, than for you to not, because you're like, oh, I don't feel like cooking, and out you just start like getting down on yourself and then emotionally eating because you didn't cook and all that. So it could lead to a lot more, but do what works for you. Do what feels the most doable for you. If you want to start leveling it up and doing that three to, it says prepackaged stuff and 3 to 6 times a week, that's great. Start with something that's doable. Maybe decrease it by one prepackaged meal a week and see how that works for you, and then go from there. All of this is not going to happen overnight. So I don't want anyone thinking that, oh, I just need to do A, B, C, and D, and I'll have all this, success and all that. Because sometimes when we do all that, it's not sustainable. I would say most of the time when we do all that, it's not sustainable. So I want you to do what feels best for you and what feels sustainable. All right, Debbie. I put this in Facebook too. Many of us love the concept of good, better, best. Would it be fair to say we aim for 80% best, better and best, and 20% good foods? It would help to correlate the two concepts if we're still using good, better, best. Okay, so the 80-20 rule is kind of what I think of, like 80% of the time I'm going to eat nourishing foods that nourish my body, that I know feel good in my body, that fuel me without me getting hungrier later and being snacky and all that. 20% of the time I'm gonna eat what I say like for joy, or eat the birthday cake. I'm not gonna restrict or deprive myself. That's where that concept is. It's not necessarily saying eating 80% good foods and 20% bad foods, because no food is good or bad. We just have to think before we eat it. So the good, better, best is a little bit different, because I think, truthfully, I think good, better, best goes a little bit more with leveling up than it does with the 80-20 rule. So good, better, best, you can do this, I think, with almost anything. Like, say you really like fried chicken. Well, the good would be going to Popeye's Fried Chicken and getting a bucket of chicken. The better might be getting the grilled chicken sandwich. The best may be doing, fixing your chicken at home. It's whatever is doable, and it's not to judge your food choices. It's just to show you, hey, where am I now, and what can I do that is doable and easy to level it up just a little bit. So I hope that answered your question, and I think that I'm glad you asked that, because a lot of people are kind of getting caught up with the 80-20, but we've been doing 80-20 probably without even realizing it, because at No BS, we don't restrict any type of food. So, like, if you go to a birthday party, it's not like you're going to be like, no, I can't have that cake, I can't have that ice cream, because there's nothing off limits in No BS. So, and I'm so grateful for that, because I spent a long time restricting certain foods, whether it be carbs or whatever. And that led to kind of, for me, it led to a different mindset that did not serve me as well along the way. So, Sarah, would love to hear your weight loss story, where you started, how long it took to reach your goal. So, with me, I started in No BS in 2024, I believe January 2024. And I said that I have gained and lost 100 pounds. It just wasn't all at once. I was the example of gaining 30 pounds, and then I would lose it, and then slowly gain it back, and then lose it, and slowly gain it back, and lose it. I have two biological children. I have five kids altogether, two biological, and I gained with both of them probably 50 to 60 pounds. With my first son, I lost it all, but it was probably because I was doing way too much with the new mom and not really taking care of myself. With my second son, I gained it and did not lose it. And I hung on to it for a good probably 5 to 8 years before I started taking care of myself. But before I started putting myself first, I joined a gym and started working out, found that I really do like pushing my body, pushed a little bit too hard at first, truth be known. And that I enjoyed working out. And that's kind of when I started to get into nutrition as well, because there was a program going on that was actually written by a dietitian at the gym. It wasn't just like, oh, let's cut carbs and lose weight and stuff like that. And so that was the first time I was kind of introduced to the concept of eating enough protein for your body, eating fat, eating carbs in a way that really helped to build muscle and stuff like that. But I, with no BS, I have lost 30 pounds. So, and I have now maintained my weight loss for the longest I had ever. So that's my story. And I'd love to hear y'all's story. So I'm happy to share my story. But yes, I am now in maintenance and now working here at No BS, and so a lot has changed for me, and I enjoy every minute of it. I've learned a lot from my former self, from losing and gaining, and I learned a lot about emotional eating as well, and that's what really helped get me to maintenance and stay there. So, Anne, if, for example, your meal is soup or paella, which is rice, veggies, meats, seafood, where the protein, carbs, and vegetables are all mixed together, how do you portion? Okay. On that one, you're just going to say, hey, I am eating protein, I'm eating carbs, I'm eating fat, and you're going to enjoy it. Yes, yeah, so if you want to maybe pick, some of the seafood out to get a little bit more protein or something like that, that's perfectly fine. But I don't want you, healthify is not about like digging through your meal and picking out or separating out stuff like that. Like paella, it's all going to be mixed in there. A stew, it's all going to be mixed in there. What you could do if you wanted to is to add something additionally, like maybe if there's not a lot of vegetables in there and you notice that, well, maybe add a side salad. If you notice that it's mainly just rice, well, maybe you could even add a hard-boiled egg, something like that, or maybe you just enjoy it and that's fine. Not every meal has to be healthified. So I personally love paella and I would probably never pick anything out of it. I would want to just enjoy it and that's perfectly fine. Joanne, how long do you have to be a no BS before you have access to Healthify? So you Healthify is a great program, but you have to be outside of your 90 days. That those first 90 days, we have thought long and hard about exactly how to roll out certain things to you. So we don't want you getting overwhelmed or anything like that. So Healthify will be available for you after those first 90 days, okay? So you're not missing out on anything. You will get it. And everything will happen in just the right time. We just want you to go through the courses in a certain way so you will be able to apply Healthify in a way that's going to serve you best. Bonnie, do you have any tips on buffalo wings or chicken skin? Sounds weird, but those are two things that are hard for me to Healthify or eat without stopping. Okay. Buffalo wings are one of my youngest son's favorites. And there are ways to healthify buffalo wings. There's way good, better, best in buffalo wings. If you go out to dinner and want buffalo wings and you get them, that's probably the good. The better would be, I think they do grilled wings. If that's not what you want, that's okay. The best for what I would say would be the air fried ones. And they've come a long way with air fried chicken wings. I've got some up in my freezer right now that my son probably eats 3 times a week, and he puts them in the air fryer, and he enjoys them. As far as the chicken skin goes, I would say if you like eating the chicken skin, eat some of it. Maybe try to not eat as much of it, just because, that is, it's actually a fat. So we're not going to say that it's a bad food or you can't eat it, but just be aware of how much you're eating it, or how much of it that you're eating, and try to just eat just a little bit less. Don't restrict or whatever. Just see if you can kind of eat more of the actual chicken meat and a little bit less of the skin. Don't make it difficult. Just, find, just you're aware that of what you're doing, and that's going to be the first step. So now, kind of just 1% level ups, maybe eating just a little bit less of the chicken skin. And then the buffalo wings, like I said, if you want to enjoy them, enjoy away. Try some in the air fryer. I've done that from the ones that are like frozen, and I've also done it from like the raw ones. They're good. The raw ones do take a little, obviously, a little bit longer to cook. Cheryl, is it true that eating close to the time you lay down for the night, your insulin will spike? I will say that insulin goes up no matter what time or no matter what you eat. That is in bodies that are functioning correctly. So your insulin going to spike? If you eat, your insulin's going to go up. The bigger question is before you lay down. So when we're getting ready to go to sleep, to rest, our body, that's when our body heals. That's when our body builds like muscle and stuff like that. That's when a lot of stuff is going on for, detoxing and all that. But if you go to bed with food in your stomach, or if you lay down right after you eat, your body is going to prioritize digestion instead of the other stuff, because it's like, hey, food comes in here and it's wanting to, package it up and store it or use it or whatever it needs to do. So, well, your question is, your insulin's going to go up. Yes. Is it necessarily a bad thing? Not necessarily. I would love to see you not lay down for like an hour to 2 hours after you ate. If that's something that's doable for you, go ahead. If it's that you work shift work and you eat and then you have to get to sleep or whatever, don't make a big deal of it. Just try to slowly maybe bump that by 15 minutes. Just like you would do if you're trying to get more sleep at night. We're going to take it in small increments. We're not going to say, okay, I'm going to bed 2 hours early. Just bump it by 15 minutes at a time. Tammy, can you tell me more about protein and kidney function? For those with decreased kidney function, how much is too much protein? I will say that definitely talk to your kidney doctor, your nephrologist, because that's kind of a loaded question, because it's hard to say. Your kidneys are needed when we're processing protein and stuff like that. But as far as me saying how much is for you, I don't know all of your lab work and stuff like that to help answer that fully. So definitely take that back to your doctor and just ask them. They will probably have, a recommendation for you. And I think for the most part, eating some protein at each meal or the palm size is probably not going to be harmful. But do double check with your nephrologist on that one. Nancy, any opinion about steel cut oats or old fashioned? That is another great question. I think both of them are great carbs. I think that if you prefer, I think they're different textures for me. Whichever one that you like the best and that does your body the best, go with it. I don't think one is necessarily better than the other. As far as processed, some are processed more than others, but I don't think that as far as they're both very good carbs and give it a try. See, go a week and eat steel cut and see how you feel, and then switch it up to old fashioned and see how you feel about that. Sometimes people do notice a little bit of difference. Good question. Anonymous. Not a question, but just wanted to say how much I appreciate you and sharing your story as a coach. Thank you. I'm a wonderful addition to the NoBS team, and the Healthify questions and answer session is great. I appreciate that. I enjoy this. I'm super excited about this, and I am so glad to share with y'all. Okay, Laura, sorry my internet was freezing when you were discussing the Healthify podcast. Would you mind repeating? Okay, so yes, yeah, so it's if you go on the website to the Healthify course, you will see a QR code. And you can scan that QR code, and that's to me, that's the easiest way. You know, just hold your phone up like you're taking a picture, and it will, and you scan it, and that will get on there, to the podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, and I think there's some other ones for Android as well. And that is just the audio of Healthify. You can watch the audio and video on, the main website, but that's, you know, I like to take it with me and listen to it on my walks. What is a good way to reset your system when it's been in stress mode and is not getting hungry? That is a great question because, you know, our stress hormones can kind of sometimes throw off our hunger hormones. A good way to do that is probably, I would say, timed eating. It's just, you know, I say for a lot of my GLP-1 members as well, sometimes to reset our body, we have to give it food at certain intervals so we know that we're fueling our body well. Because if our hunger is thrown off in any way, sometimes we have to fuel our body even though our hunger is not great. So for you, I would just recommend maybe first of all, look and see if there's any nighttime eating going on and nighttime emotional eating, because sometimes that can throw off your hunger in the morning because you've eaten more at night. So you literally don't need as much fuel in the morning. So check on that. And then maybe just do timed eating, like that you're going to eat breakfast at a certain time and then you still wait for hunger. But if you don't get any signals by a certain time, you're going to eat again and then do the same thing for dinner. And give that a try and see if that doesn't help. And then also the other part is trying to get your nervous system to settle down. Look at some of the resources that Coach Kathy does on the nervous system, because if we can bring those stress hormones down, your hunger hormones, well, you'll be able to hear those a lot better. So, timed eating, and let's get that stress, that nervous system kind of de-stressed with some of the nervous system tools that Coach Kathy teaches. Sue, what makes me crazy is it said, stop soda, you will lose weight. Stop eating at this time, you will lose weight. And all these other things that are said, stop sugar, you will drop weight. What I found is I'm not putting any more weight on, but the scale dropping that has not been my situation. I feel better, but not losing weight over those changes. I'm maintaining instead of losing. I think that this is another great question because our bodies have a way, they have to kind of situate themselves when you change anything, whether it be stopping soda, whether it be stopping sugar, whether it be even changing up any part of your diet. Anyone who has had to change their diet for any reason notices that their body is a little bit off for a couple of few days. Your body may just be regulating. And when our bodies regulate, they don't like to release weight. They're kind of just like, hey, stop. Let's figure things out before we go doing anything major. So the fact that you're maintaining is great. I know you want to start losing. Start taking a look at the little things too, the emotional eating, the nighttime eating. Make sure that, you know, just because you are changing things up, that some of the other habits aren't creeping up as well. But do you have to stop soda and do you have to stop sugar to drop weight? No, you don't have to stop those. There are plenty of people out there that drink soda, that eat sugar, that lose weight. Will kind of leveling up where you don't drink quite as much soda help you lose weight? It might. I mean, because that does sugar. I mean, soda does have sugar in it. It does have calories in it. And some people say that it makes them crave more sugar. I'm not sure. You will know that about your body. But I think the way to do that is just to level up, not cutting everything at once. Because when we do that all or nothing thinking, we get a lot more thoughts that come along with that. So, just take a look overall at, and see why you may be maintaining instead of losing. All right, Anonymous, I'm hearing a lot about intermittent fasting for women in menopause and that your body won't burn fat unless you have longer periods on, of an empty stomach where insulin is not sent to deal with foods. But then Nobia says eat when you feel slight hunger. How do I reconcile? Okay. So the best way, and you, there's a bunch of information on fasting, do I fast, do I not fast, all that stuff. I would say you naturally intermittent fast when you're asleep. If you are doing the four basics with no BS and you're getting that 7 to 9 hours of sleep, you are technically fasting because it's called breakfast because you break your fast. So as far as like reconciling with all that, if you are, like I said earlier, if you're not eating 1 to 2 hours before you go to bed, I normally it's about 3 hours for me, just because that's what works the best for me that I've found. So, and then you're sleeping 8 hours, that's 10 hours of not having anything in your system where your insulin can regulate. That's essentially a 10-hour fast. If you sleep longer, your fast is lengthened. You, I can say for me, I did intermittent fast for a while, and it, I felt okay, but my mindset got kind of a little bit off on telling myself, oh, I can't eat this, and I shouldn't eat this, and I got a lot of those shoulds and a lot of the old diet mentality came up for me. So it didn't do as well for me. A lot of people do it for medical reasons and stuff like that. So I'm not here to say don't intermittent fast or whatever. I think that you have to do what is best for your body. But I also think that it is very important to honor your hunger because sometimes intermittent fasting will teach you to do the opposite. Your body is saying, hey, I need fuel. And you're like, oh, is it time to eat? It's not time to eat yet. So that relationship with your hunger cues can get a little bit skewed. So that would be the one thing that I would kind of warn you about as far as intermittent fasting goes. But if you sleep and you honor hunger, you those things will help you probably just as much as the intermittent fasting and all of that, because like I said, you're going to fast while you're asleep. Holly, my average weekday meal is breakfast, about 3 to 4 ounces of yogurt, fruit, homemade granola. Lunch is usually ham and cheese sandwich or a wrap with spinach. No dressing or very little. And then dinner is sometimes homemade casserole, steak, chicken with a potato and all that. And she says, when I look at Corinne's meal, it looks like so much food. I'm rarely hungry for snacks. I do get a little hung up on the fact that I eat so little to feel like I'm at enough, yet I'm not losing. I do eat ice cream about a cup almost nightly, and I'm not hungry usually. My weight yo-yos. I'm 61, just started HRT. Not sure if a couple pound weight gain is that I'm, is this or an eating habit or probably a combo. Okay, so I will say that don't compare yourself to someone else because you don't know their body. Like Corinne lifts a good bit of heavy weights. So she's fueling her body maybe differently than you, maybe differently than me. You're started on HRT. Your hormones may have be a little bit off right now as well. And that's perfectly normal when you're starting. Again, our bodies always want to regulate, and that takes time. But as far as like the ice cream, that ask yourself, like, What is that ice cream doing for you at night? And if we could figure that out and kind of meet that need in a different way, my guess is the scale would get moving as well. Because if you're eating that ice cream almost every night and you're not hungry, that may be the difference of the scale staying the same and going down. But it sounds like you're eating very healthy. And that, if you're dialed in with your hunger and enough, I wouldn't worry so much about how much it is that you're eating. I would, if you're truly way hungrier at night, that's a different story. Then we're going to look at, hey, how am I not fueling myself during the day? But if I were you, I would look into the ice cream. Why? How is that serving you and how can you meet that need differently? And then I would give yourself, some time to adjust to that HRT. And because sometimes our hormones can make us hold on to water differently and stuff like that, and that can show up on the scale. Oh, she's Tanya said, thank you. She'll look into the nervous system work. Great. I think that that is wonderful. Anonymous, I have realized that if I have the Chobani shakes, they still have 20 grams of protein, but I feel like I get hungry later despite the protein. Have you ever heard of this? Is it just me? No, it's probably not just you. Your body may be wanting a little bit more carbs, a little bit more fat. I think that, if you were to do the Chobani, and this is something that you're going to have to try, experiment with your own body. And I'm taking this as you're only doing the Chobani shake. So maybe add something to it. Do the Chobani shake and maybe try like a piece of toast with butter or a piece of toast with jelly. That would tell you, is it the carbs and the fat that's also helping as well? But my guess is the Chobani just may not be quite enough food to keep you full for an extended a period of time. That may be more just like the beginning, and you may need to add a little bit extra. So you're getting the protein in, but you need that fat and carbs. So just take a look and see how you could add a little bit more fat and carbs and see how that does you. Anonymous, I have a lower belly that always looks bloated. I'm not sure if it's what's called minnow belly since I'm postmenopausal, but I would like to know if you have any suggestions on foods I should or shouldn't eat and to get going a way to look smaller and feel better. So, what you're talking about, the minnow belly, is more kind of hormone related than what you're eating related. And there is stuff that you can do to help regulate your hormones that will kind of help with that. It's actually visceral fat that, so it's the fat that actually forms around our organs that increases during menopause. It's not necessarily the fat that you get from just eating too much and storing it. So there is a little bit difference when it comes to that. And what has helped, I think, the most is to get those hormones regulated. I myself, I mean, I have fat that's there and I'm okay with it because I know that I am eating healthy. I know that I am, working out and that to try to keep my body strong and stuff like that. And if that part of me is going to look like that and I've done my best, that's okay. I'm okay with it. I know a lot of people, it took me time to get to be okay with it. So I would just say to you, if you eat the way that we talk about with the hand method and all that type stuff, and maybe have your hormones looked at. I don't know if you've done that yet, just to see. I just got on HRT not too long ago myself, and I have noticed a difference in just the way my body looks. I don't look quite as puffy, I guess is the word that I can describe it. And that is just because my body is regulating back to the hormones that, I'm just supplementing. I'm putting those hormones back to where they were when I felt the best. So I would definitely get with your doctor and just double check those hormones, and then, eat to fuel your body. I would love to have, I've said this before, I would love for everyone to, every woman, every Nobius woman to lift weights. But maybe that's not doable for everyone. But yeah, just see what feels best and know that that minnow belly is kind of common. That doesn't mean that you're doing anything wrong. It will settle out over time when your hormones do settle out. Just sometimes when you replace them, it settles out a little bit quicker. So, okay, Sue, when you say regulated, do you mean balanced or at a possible set point? How do I break that? I do eat every day regular food. I think that I've been so improved on my overeating by allotting suggestions. So I don't exact know exactly what you mean by regulated, but our body, I think I know what you mean. Our bodies take time to settle out or regulate to anything. Any hormone change, anytime you kind of change up your diet. And it normally is 90 days. Our body's like something called homeostasis. And sometimes when we say we've hit a plateau or we've hit a stall, it's actually our body's way of regulating back to whatever level that we're at right now. And it's just kind of like, hold on, let me figure things out before I go releasing any more weight, and see what all is going on. So, Corinne has mentioned many times, and a lot of the other coaches, that stalls and plateaus are a normal part of weight loss. Sometimes every 10 to 15 pounds, our body has to regulate again. So don't think that that's anything abnormal. It just happens, and you have to kind of just keep going with what you're doing, and your body will start responding again. I will say that making sure that you're getting enough proteins and fat and carbs will help with that, because that's just fueling your body to run more efficiently. All right, Holly, what is a good amount of time between meals? I thought 3 to 4 hours, then I thought MJ said 5 to 6. Another good question that is kind of a loaded question. I think whatever, when you're honoring your hunger, especially right now when you're kind of starting Healthify and it may be a little bit new, that's what I want you to do. I want you to honor that hunger. So say you eat a breakfast and it's eggs, toast, and yogurt with berries. And then you notice probably about 3 hours later, you're getting hungry. Ask yourself if you're really hungry. Remember, true hunger, there's no urgency to true hunger. It's kind of like, hey, I'm getting a little hungry. And sometimes you could finish up a task, or you may look at the clock and be like, okay, well, I have a break in 15 minutes or something like that. Whereas urges come on strong and hard. They're like, we got to have the chocolate, we got to have it now. So definitely make sure that you're truly hungry, that it is hunger, and then eat. And then you may start noticing, hey, if I add a little bit more of a little bit more protein or whatever it is, that it lasts you a little bit longer. For me, I tend to eat a little bit larger breakfast, so I may not get hungry for 4 or 5 hours later. And then I eat lunch, and then I may be hungry 4 hours later. You'll get to know your own body's rhythm, and I write it on, well, in my notes app, to try to figure that out. I kind of write myself notes about my planned food and how that worked in my body. So you can go back and look. So again, this may be a little bit of an experiment as you start, but as so long as you are honoring your hunger, that's all that I want you to do. That may be 3 hours, that may be 6 hours. There's no wrong or right amount of time. Now, if it's scooting where it's only 2 hours or so, maybe start, changing some stuff up a little bit quicker. Because it should last you, I would say, a minimum of 3. Can you explain the hand method again? I understand the palm size, but not the thickness. Okay. So, yes. So it's going to be the palm of your hand and kind of the thickness of it. So I don't want you just eating like one slice of bologna. that's that big, and it's like a little, it's not thin, you know, or it is thin. So I want you kind of to think it's like a chicken breast. That would be about the size of maybe, well, these chickens nowadays are big, but this is maybe one half or whatever of a big chicken breast. Or think of it like a hamburger patty. That's about the size of a hamburger patty. So that, I hope that answers your question. But yeah, and you don't have to be exact. So don't worry about getting it exactly right. We're just trying to start and seeing how this is going to do for us. Mary, I hope this hasn't been asked yet, but do you recommend that women eat something prior to working out versus fasting? I'm starting to hear that women exercising first thing in the morning without eating something causes a cortisol spike that can affect the rest of the day. There is a lot of data out there on this stuff for women over 40. I can tell you what I do. I now eat a little something. You'll see on my plan every day the NOCA, which is just like a protein smoothie. It's got your carbs, fat, and protein all in one. It's a little bit like baby food. It's like in one of those pouches. I find it very easy and doable for me to get in before I work out. So I go with it. I have noticed a difference that I do a lot better with my workouts. I don't feel, sometimes I would not get dizzy, but sometimes I just feel like I wasn't as strong before. I also, we mentioned on the Coffee and Connections call that some people do protein, like a protein shake with working out, or the clear protein. So it's more like water as opposed to a thicker shake. I would say give it a try and see. I would say give it 2 weeks. Like try, unless there's, it's definitely not doing you good, and see what, how different you feel. And as far as the cortisol spike, we naturally have spikes of cortisol and blood pressure and all of that type things that is part of our circadian rhythm. It's okay for cortisol to spike. What we don't want it to do is to stay there. And sometimes when we aren't as well fed, it stays a little bit high a little bit longer, especially when we're pushing our body, like with working out. So that's kind of the basis of where this comes in. But yeah, give it a try and see how it works for you. I can say that I have done a lot better fed than fasted. And I worked out fasted for probably 6 or 8 years. And now I just don't do that. Is there really any such thing as superfoods like kale and all that in the high? Okay, so the superfoods, all the short, quick, is they're just packed with vitamins and nutrients. Any superfood is not super if you don't like to eat it. I will tell you that. I don't like kale. I will save it for rabbits to eat or whatever. There are people that love kale. Me personally, I don't like it. So it's not a superfood for me because I'm not going to consume that. It's if it's They got that term because they are nutrient dense. There are plenty of nutrient dense foods that don't have to taste like kale or something if you don't like it. So I will say stick to eating your fruits and veggies that you do like. And then if you want to throw in a superfood, do that. I follow protein should be the size of a deck of cards. Yeah, I think that that's almost the equivalent, like, well, with my hands, yeah. The thing is your palm just gives you more a regulated size for your body. Like a deck of cards, if I were to say that for my husband, that may not be enough because he's bigger, than, and he might need more. So I don't think that that's a necessarily bad. I just like the palm because it is more regulated to your actual body. It's going, the way that we were created as human beings is just phenomenal. And it to have that truly is, there's science behind that, the size of your palm and that amount of protein and stuff like that. But our time is drawing to an end. Next week, we are going to talk more about protein and carbs. So this week was just kind of the introduction to what is Healthify, the well-fed woman. Make sure you're filling out your companion guide. I have mine printed out here. Go ahead and answer those questions. You will be grateful that you did that so you can take a look back. But next week, protein and carbs, I hope you're ready. But go ahead, let's start 1% level ups this week with Healthify, and I will see you all next Wednesday, next week, and we will focus more on protein and carbs. Take care. Talk to y'all later.